you're new to Aspen Films, so let's
I am very new. Let's 3 weeks old. Not even.
How about that? Wow.
How about that? Huh. And of those 3 weeks, I've been in Aspen 5 days of them.
Wow. So you're hitting the ground running. How about that?
Oh, yeah. But it's great. You know, when I first walked into the office, I sort of got the, like, you know, and I said, it's okay. I'm used to dealing in triage situations. I've worked for, you know, Miami International Film Festival was the same, IFP in New York Independent Feature Project. All good. That's how I work best.
Well, Susan Rubel, your resume is deep and wide, and it spans the globe, and you have experience in film acquisition and sales, development, production, marketing, distribution, just about every facet of film. What made you want to take the executive directorship of Aspen Film?
Well, I feel like this is an opportunity, and as I've said, timing in life is everything, and the timing of this was absolute kismet, so to speak. Basically, the executive director role for me really gives me a platform to sort of use all the tools in my toolbox. You know, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's what I've been working towards, but because I've had a deep and varied career over the past 20-some years, I've dabbled in a lot of different things, and it's been exciting and it's been great, and I've been a consultant, and this opportunity really allows me to sort of play to my strengths and bring the best of what I've learned to an organization that really seems to have a community behind it that works really well with my background. You know, I spent almost 7 years in New York. I spent almost 7 years in Los Angeles. I was in New York in film for 11 years before that, and I've been back in New York for another 7. And although I love it, I just sort of feel like the business is migrating to Los Angeles a lot more. Even a lot of the companies that are left in New York are setting up Los Angeles outposts. And although I enjoy Los Angeles, it's not a place that I wanted to relocate back to. So when this came up, it was sort of a refreshing new option. I feel the community there is super sophisticated, really engaged. They have an appetite for art and culture and cinema. You know, I sort of love the healthy lifestyle plus the whole sports angle. And it's really a community that, from my vantage point, seems to have something to offer for everyone. And I have a close group of college friends, many of whom spend time in Aspen. Some of them own homes. So it's not like I'm, you know, dropping into some place in the middle of Iowa where I don't know anybody. It's actually a community where people that I know and adore frequent. So I feel like it's going to be a nice community. And everything I know about the people there and just the time that I've spent there seems like it's going to be a good fit.
Well, if you're so new on the job, I guess you didn't program much of this festival.
No, we have a programmer whose name is Jane Shuttle. She comes from Toronto.
Okay, so she has extensive experience too in that regard.
She definitely does, and she and I, it's funny, Jane and I had not met in person. We still haven't met in person, but we've been on the phone a lot since I started. We really come from a similar world and a similar background and have a lot of friends in common. So, you know, sort of taking up the reins and having somebody like Jane on board who did this unbelievable job programming and us looking down the road for Academy screenings and talking about that together, it's just really nice to know that there's, you know, there's somebody in place that gets it and that sort of comes from the same world and mentality that I do.
Well, as usual, you have some Carbondale films showing.
I know. We're very excited about that.
Not this weekend, but next. And so let's focus on that just a little bit. There's a lot of things to talk about. So let's start with the Friday showing of Lucky. One critic called that a film about nothing in particular and everything important. And it features the final on-screen role of Harry Dean Stanton.
Harry Dean Stanton. And there was just an article in one of the trade publications today saying that this should be his posthumous Oscar.
How about that?
Yeah.
That says a lot.
Seen the film yet. I'm super excited for it. A friend of mine who's based in Boulder is a producer on the film. So I've been very excited for this one. I unfortunately had missed it when it was at Sundance. But that's one that I'm very keen to see.
Yeah, well, I really love the blurb description. A 90-year-old atheist who has outlived and outsmoked all of his contemporaries. That's pretty good. And
pretty
I can
great.
See Harry Dean Stanton filling that
mm-hmm.
to a T
mm-hmm.
with that craggy face and that kind of offhand, how would you put it, profundity. There's
yeah.
something profound about the guy.
We say he's got some gravitas.
Yes. Yes, a dusty
gravitas. And a gravelly voice to boot.
Exactly. Well, one critic called it his best role since Paris, Texas. So that says a lot
yeah.
right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten a lot of accolades, so I'm very excited about that one. I'm thrilled that that it's going to be playing in Carbondale as well.
And then the other Friday movie in Carbondale, The Desert Bride, which seems like a rather quiet but probably transformative kind of movie. Tell me about
Absolutely.
The Desert
and
Bride.
And this director really has a track record. I believe the lead actress was in Gloria, and that film was nominated for an Academy Award that year.
I watched the trailer for it, and it looks like it might be a meditation on, shall we say, mature love?
Yes, I believe that is correct. But Paulina Garcia was the lead in Gloria,
uh-huh.
and I can't remember if it was Chile or Argentina's Oscar entry the year that Gloria came out.
Well,
so I'm very excited to see this. The director's phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah, very amusing trailer.
And one of the things that I think is so great, this may be our only Spanish language film. So I think I know that there's a big Spanish-speaking community within the area, so we've been doing a big push with this for schools and for teachers for educational purposes as well.
Okay.
For more mature kids.
So is it subtitled? Okay.
All of our foreign language films are subtitled.
Right. Okay. And then yeah. Saturday, you have a couple of really interesting offerings, one of which looks very intriguing to me, and that's The Florida Project, which I have to say is, I would say that's sort of unfortunately named. It sounds like a dreary documentary.
It does sound like a dreary documentary. It is anything but dreary.
Yes.
And it's interesting because it's not a documentary, but you almost get the sense that you are watching real life unfold in front of your eyes. I saw it on Friday morning. It really, really stayed with me. It's gorgeous to look at. The colors are bright. And it's about, you know, these families that live in these motels in Orlando, kind of on the outskirts of Disneyland. And much of the film is told from the perspective of a six-year-old girl.
Well, speaking of that six-year-old girl, there's a star in the making right there. Just I only have seen the trailer.
Yeah, she's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
Actually, everybody is. And the woman who plays her mom in the film is going to have a huge career.
Oh, interesting. And she was discovered on social media, I understand.
That does not surprise me.
Well, I watched a really nice interview with the director, who is Sean Baker and
uh-huh.
and Willem Dafoe, and also
He's
that
great.
That young girl and the woman you're talking about. And it just, one Variety magazine called it a loving look at the innocence of childhood. So it's sort of a coming of age kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a coming of age. It's really interesting because it's a lot of it, as I said, is told from the perspective of the little girl and her friends, and that they're who we first meet when the film opens, and then we get to meet her mom, and you see a lot about their relationship and how Willem Dafoe interacts with them. It's really kind of fascinating, and this was also one that was a huge buzz film out of Cannes.
Yes. Yes.
It premiered in the director's fortnight and got snapped up immediately. I think there's a little bit of a bidding war for it, from my understanding.
How about that? Well, you know, it looks very promising. And
yeah, so for sure. I think that you're going to hear a lot of buzz on this movie into the awards season.
And it's destined for a wider theatrical release, isn't it?
I believe so. I mean, A24 is taking it out, and they do a phenomenal job.
Oh, okay. And the other
yep.
Saturday offering at the Crystal Theater in Carbondale is All the Wild Horses, about the Mongol Derby. What is the Mongol
yeah.
Derby?
So apparently it's the biggest horse race in the world. Basically, you have all these Mongolian riders. This is another one that I've been waiting to see for the festival. Unless I can somehow sneak a screener in before the festival starts. It is basically the biggest horse race in the world of anywhere. Like one of these, like a palio race sort of.
Oh, okay.
That you would see in Italy or something like that. It's supposedly phenomenal. And, you know, I know that because the area is very keen on horses, I think that was part of the idea, but it's also been, I don't think it's actually been seen very widely, which is why Jane was very excited to bring it to the community.
Well, it features a race of 1,000 kilometers across the steppes of Mongolia, so I'll bet the scenery
is going to be absolutely gorgeous. One of the first movies that I released in my career was called A Mongolian Tale that took place across the steppes of Mongolia, and it was absolutely arresting.
Huh. How about that? So that looks promising.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday, a couple of interesting flicks. I guess you would call it a documentary, Letters from Baghdad.
Letters from Baghdad, yeah. It's a found footage documentary about a phenomenal woman named Gertrude Bell, who was very much involved in sort of the shaping of the Middle East.
Yeah, she was considered the female Lawrence of Arabia, I guess.
Exactly. She's a pretty outstanding-sounding character. She's one of these women, sort of like a Hedy Lamarr, whose film Bombshell we're also showing, is one of these women that just sort of went under the radar in terms of all of the accomplishments that they brought to the world.
Yeah.
So it's, I believe, a husband and wife couple who directed the film. They will be in town.
Oh.
The film is just supposed to be phenomenal, and there's this never seen before footage of Gertrude that sort of talks about her whole trajectory and how she worked with, I think it was the British government, and, you know, really helped shape the Middle East.
Yeah, drawing the borders of Iraq, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the film features Tilda Swinton as a voice.
She's a narrator. And apparently Tilda Swinton looks a lot like Gertrude Bell did.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
But she's not actually on screen. She's just voicing.
No. She's narrating.
Okay. Yeah. That looks like an interesting one. And
I'm very, very excited about.
And then the last one on Sunday, it's at Crystal Theater, The Upside.
The director is Neil Berger. Who did The Illusionist, he did Limitless, he did Divergent. He's a very talented director. And this is Nicole Kidman and Bryan Cranston, and also a phenomenal actress called Shifta Farahani.
And Kevin
Hart's in the film, Juliana Margulies. It's got a great cast.
It does have a great cast. And it looks like a very promising story, heartwarming.
Oh, this is the English language remake of the French film, The Untouchables.
Okay.
Did it win the Oscar? It was just nominated for a French Oscar years ago. I think it won the Césars.
Oh, okay. And it's based on a true story about a billionaire who becomes paralyzed and ex-con, played by Kevin Hart, who signs up as his caretaker.
Exactly.
Caregiver.
Exactly.
Let's talk about a few of the other films that are showing in Aspen, because they also look very interesting. You mentioned the Hedy Lamarr flick. I had no idea. I mean, everybody knows her as a sex bot, but nobody knows her as an inventor.
No, and the film is pretty incredible, because when you see what this woman actually did, you know, using sort of Morse code and looking at player piano rolls and figuring out how to send messages. I mean, she basically created modern-day Wi-Fi.
Interesting. Back in the 40s.
I mean, she was fascinating.
In the 40s, like long ago.
Exactly. I mean, she was a brilliant woman. So it's pretty incredible. And we're doing a special panel just on Hedy Lamarr and Bombshell in Aspen on Saturday with the producer of the film. So that should be a great event, because Jane and I were speaking to him, you know, about what we were going to cover. And Jane basically said, I'd love to do a 10,000-foot view and then have you unpack everything. And he started telling us some pretty incredible anecdotes just about having the footage, finding the footage. They had never heard her voice before. They had started shooting, and they realized, we can't do this without hearing Hedy's voice. And then one reporter who had not gotten back to them, they tried calling him one more time, and he said, I've been waiting for this phone call. I have all of the tapes of her.
Wow.
So it was sort of through this guy who had Hedy's voice on tape that we got Bombshell.
And I understand in researching this that she has an Aspen connection. I had no idea.
She does indeed, a very strong one. She fell in love with Aspen. I mean, she grew up in Austria, so there was something about it. And she owned, I'm blanking on the name, I believe it was one of the hotels, something with chalet.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
So she was in that crowd, that early Aspen crowd with Gary Cooper and some of the others. How about
I
that?
I believe so.
Huh. And another one that's getting a lot of attention and will soon have a theatrical release that you are showing is Lady Bird.
Yes.
Tell me about Lady Bird.
Lady Bird is Greta Gerwig's directorial debut. Has gotten phenomenal accolades. It's funny because most of us know Greta is an actor, and apparently the reviews, she knocks us out of the park. I've only seen the trailer to date. This is one of my highly anticipated watches at the festival as well. And it just, it looks hysterical. It's a coming-of-age story of a sort of offbeat teen and her relationship with her mother, and it just looks phenomenal.
Well, it's hard to go wrong with Saoirse Ronan.
Exactly. She's a very accomplished actor.
Yes, very much so. And then the other one that caught my eye was the New Zealand Women. Tell me a little bit about Waru.
So this is a film that's comprised of 8 different films. My understanding from Jane, who is a massive advocate of this film and just really thinks it's something special, is that 8 Maori women were given the opportunity to tell a story. 8 women directors from New Zealand construct an authentic, multi-voice story about child abuse set in the Maori community.
Ooh, that's explosive.
Yeah. Yes. So 8 women directors from New Zealand each direct 1 chapter, I stand corrected, centered around the funeral of a Maori child we never see who has apparently died from parental neglect and possibly abuse.
Well, I see that you're doing the surprise film again. That's really good to see.
Yeah.
That's always much talked about.
I can't say much more than it is one of my favorite films of the year.
Oh, okay. Nice little clue. Well, Susan Rubel, your first Film Fest, but the 39th version of it. Coming,
I know. Very exciting.
Coming right up, and it's a real pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
You as well, and hopefully we'll see you around the festival.